Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that share Mazda's passion that cars make driving matter. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Charlotte has long been known for its lush green tree canopy, but growth and development have resulted in a loss of trees and the shade they provide. In places, some mature trees are reaching the ends of their life cycles. All of that has resulted in a significant loss of our city's trademark. And here are some numbers to put all this into perspective. From 2012 to 2018, we lost about 10,000 acres of trees, about 250,000 trees. In that same period, the amount of area covered by our tree canopy was reduced from 49% of the city to 45%. But the city was concerned about this loss even before 2012. In 2011, City Council created a goal of increasing the canopy and returning it to 50% by 2050. But recently, leaders have been backing off that target too. Still, the city is developing a new tree canopy action plan with updated policies governing our trees. So let's explore where we've come from, where we are, and where we're going. Tim Porter is the chief urban forester and tree canopy action plan project manager for the city of Charlotte. He's actually in the office, and he joins us from there right now. Good morning.
Morning, Mike. Happy to be here.
Allison Craig is deputy planning director for the city. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here today.
Chuck Cole is executive director for Trees Charlotte. That's a public-private collaboration dedicated to planting trees and helping residents understand the importance of the canopy. Welcome back.
Good morning, Mike. Happy to be here.
And Eli Portillo, our old friend, is assistant director of outreach and strategic partnership at UNC Charlotte's Urban Institute. Thank you for being here, Eli. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Tim, let me start with you because you are the chief urban forester for the city of Charlotte. I know from previous programs that we've done with you and your predecessor, Don McSween, that we are among a few cities in the country with an urban forester. That tells me that we take these things, these trees, seriously, it would seem to me. Would that be accurate?
Yes, of course. And Charlotte has had a long history in all areas, community, public leaders, elected leaders, of valuing the canopy. We have historical data going back to when some of the first urban core neighborhoods were built, such as Myers Park, Wesley Heights, where there's images of trees being dug up from creeks and carted by mule for miles and miles to plant as street trees. Just one example.
Yeah, because people we've talked about this before in the program. People don't realize that many of the old growth trees in Myers Park were put there. They weren't there when that neighborhood was developed. But if we take it so seriously, and obviously we do, how have we allowed the tree canopy to be reduced to 40%, 45% of the area coverage, Tim?
Tree canopy goal setting is a challenging thing. It's a young industry, and I look at it, a coverage goal such as 50%. That goal was initially supposed to be certainly achieve this goal for quality of life benefits, but also a rallying cry for the community to spark more action and awareness around tree benefits. So what we've learned is that canopy goal setting is a really complex equation, and all the variables, it's really hard to know and project and forecast how each variable is going to grow or decline over time and development. It is one of the most hardest ones to really understand. So we have planted and preserved more trees from 2012 to today than any other time in Charlotte. But also there's been a really amazing growth development in all sectors that's been difficult to balance that. So it's a combination of things, but also there's an aging canopy out there. There's a lot of very mature 60 to over 100-year-old trees that are aging out in many areas of Charlotte.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, Eli, because I gave out a lot of numbers at the very beginning of the program, and you used to write about this in the Charlotte Observer. You're writing about it now, reporting on it with the UNC Charlotte Urban Institute. You're using a different number. You report that we're losing over 3 football fields of trees a day. That's nearly 8,000 acres since 2012, I believe. And that's all because of the combination of factors that Tim has mentioned. Which is the biggest culprit there, do you think?
Sure. So that 3 football fields a day figure was compiled by my colleague, Doug Shoemaker, professor here at UNC Charlotte. And I think that really kind of puts it in a more concrete perspective for people to really visualize an amount. And that's sort of the total loss divided by number of days. So, you know, it's not like every single day there's a bulldozer knocking over that many trees, but it really is a significant area. And I think one thing that makes this a tough issue is that there's not one single cause you can point to and say, you know, there was a huge forest here and they bulldozed it and built an enormous subdivision, and that's the main thing. What these studies are showing us is that, you know, the largest loss is on residential land, private residential land, which is the majority of Charlotte, where the majority of our tree canopy is located. And it's a combination of many things. It's aging trees, it's storms, it's new development, it's bigger houses replacing smaller houses on the same lot. You know, if you look at a neighborhood like Cotswold, you can see a lot of new 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 square foot houses that really go from lot line to lot line, replacing smaller ranch houses on the same lot. And when they do that, a lot of times those, you know, 3, 4 big trees that were shading that little house are gone. You know, it's something that people might say, wow, you're really preachy about this, but I want to say we removed a tree in my yard that was leaning over the house dangerously this year. I've planted another tree that I hope will make up for some of that, but it's going to be a long, long time before that catches up.
So, Chuck, there's more than one study indicating how much of our canopy we're losing or have already lost. And one of them is more optimistic than the other. One of them says we've lost far fewer trees than the study we've been talking about. So where do you stand on this? As somebody who encourages the planting of trees and helps people understand the importance of the canopy, which study do you think is more accurate?
Well, I think, quite frankly, I think they all are more accurate, or they are accurate. If you go back and you look at the study that we're talking about now, which uses imagery from 2018, we did that in cooperation with the University of Vermont, and we actually had to go back to the 2012 study and redo it because of technology and advancements. And what we found was, instead of the canopy in 2012 being 47%, it was actually 49%. So if you go back and you look at the loss from 2012 to the 2016 study that you're talking about, that was about minus 2.2%. If you go from 49% to 46%, so then if you step that again and go from 2016 to 2018 using the current data, it's about 1.8% loss. So it's about a 2-point loss during those particular time frames. The problem comes in is the distance between 2012 and 2016 is 4 years, and 16 to 18 is 2 years. So it's accelerating. That's one of the problems.
Okay. And Allison Craig is here. She's the deputy planning director. When you hear about planning directors, you think of streets, where to put streets, where to put water pipes, how to allow development to occur. You don't think about trees. Do you do a lot of work with trees? Do you think a lot about trees as a city planner?
Absolutely, particularly right now. So, I mean, we're in a very pivotal stage as a city right now. You know, 15th fastest growing city in the nation. We're developing the city's first comprehensive plan in decades. We're embarking on a unified development ordinance, and trees are an important part of that. And that's why we've, you know, gone down this road of this tree canopy action plan, because we know that trees are important. We know that it needs a dedicated conversation as a companion to the city's comprehensive plan and vision, but it really needs its own space to discuss and have dialogue and hear from the community, because we're creating policies right now for a lot of different city priorities, you know, that include affordable housing and congestion and safety and equity. But tree canopy is an important thing that we've heard from our residents. And so it's important to understand what people want, what the different priorities are in the city, because we're creating the regulations that will implement those through the Unified Development Ordinance.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because the city's serious about this, and homeowners and residents are serious about the tree canopy. They enjoy the tree canopy. It certainly increases your property values. There's no question about that. If that is all true, and I think it is, the city has put into place several tree ordinances down through time, and the most recent one, I think, was a goal set in 2011 to increase the canopy by 50% by 2050. It's the 50 by 50 plan. Now, they have begun to back off that goal, and we'll talk about why, but where are we in the process of saving what we have and rebuilding that canopy?
Right now, we've assembled a consultant team. We've got 22 stakeholders that we're meeting with, and that's why we're here, and that's why we're underway in this effort, is to make those decisions. And so it may be that that we move away from a 50 by 50, but that doesn't mean that we're moving away from having very strong importance for Charlotte's tree canopy. It's something that we should celebrate. It's very important to the community for a variety of reasons, from air quality and water quality, aesthetics, shade, all of those things. And so that's the group that we've assembled is there to help us make those challenging decisions.
Chuck Cole, your organization, Trees Charlotte, people may not be aware of it, but I think you were started in 2012.
2012, it depends on who you ask. I mean, okay. It was thought about in 2010.
Okay. We'll just say, for the sake of argument, that it came together. It all came together 2012. In 2012 to increase the canopy, to help increase the canopy, to educate people about the importance of the canopy, and to encourage volunteers to plant trees. How much headway have you made, and can we make real headway if it is volunteers who are volunteering to plant trees?
Okay, ask me that question a year ago, and I would give you this bright outlook. So this mm-hmm. year, because of COVID-19, there is going to affect us somewhat. To date, we've put in, about 49,000 trees, 39,000 trees, either by planting or by disseminating to residents. That's pretty good. We've used about 39,000 volunteers. So the idea is to help people understand that trees are a community value. When you rally around trees and you get volunteers to come around and plant trees, they see what the good is. They see the health benefits. They really get involved with those trees, especially if you get children to name the tree. It becomes something that tugs at their heart.
How do you come to see the health benefits? Because they're invisible.
Well, they are invisible, and I suppose that's a point, because once they're gone, we will realize it. But they clean the air for us. They give us fresh air. They mitigate a lot of water that we have, and we have a lot of water in Charlotte, and we'll have more. As Charlotte develops and has more impervious area, they capture the carbon that we have. They give us shade. It's interesting to watch the weather people on TV. When they tell you, hey, the temperature is going to be 96 degrees or 100 degrees. But the fact of the matter is that if it wasn't for our great canopy, it would be hotter. Hmm. So that's one of the main benefits that it gives us also.
Of course, I guess you could say if every city was an urban forest like we are, we would have less of climate change would be having less of an impact. But climate change is having an impact, and it has an impact on the tree canopy, because hotter weather and drier weather is a stressor of trees, and that's why it's important to maintain the canopy here. I know that your organization works very closely with the city of Charlotte, and we're going to talk about that relationship and how it works when we come back. We're talking about our tree canopy and the new tree ordinance that is being developed going forward as part of the urban plan that they're putting together for 2040, with Allison Craig from the City of Charlotte, Tim Porter of the Urban Forester for Charlotte, Chuck Cole and Eli Portillo. It's Charlotte Talks. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to Mazda's focus to ensure every element of a car is designed around the driver. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about our trees with our urban forester for the City of Charlotte, and also the Tree Canopy Action Plan Project Manager, Tim Porter. Allison Craig is here. She's the Deputy Planning Director for the City. Chuck Cole is Executive Director of Trees Charlotte. And Eli Portillo is a part of the UNC Charlotte Urban Institute, where he is Assistant Director of Outreach and Strategic Partnership. This is a partnership between Trees Charlotte and the city of Charlotte. How do you work together, Tim? How do these two groups of people work together to preserve and enhance the canopy?
It's a great partnership, and we work together in a number of ways. The city provides a lot of technical and staff support for planting events and coordination of volunteer events. Tree Charlotte works out of the city's landscape management facility. They have their own area, and we collaborate where, you know, city staff is right outside the door, and we work closely on high-level coordination, scheduling, planning of events annually, planting, preservation. It's quite a robust partnership, and we're looking to, you know, grow that partnership. Our 2017 Urban Forest Master Plan has 12 action items. One of them is to grow and increase the partnership with Trees Charlotte. So it's something we look to kind of protect and grow going forward to help achieve our canopy.
Eli, having a tree canopy like ours helps with climate. It helps with drainage. It helps with cleaning the air. It increases property values. It gives us shade. We are an urban forest, which indicates we have wildlife who depend on those trees. And it's been said that it's difficult to understand, for some people to understand the value. I don't know why that's difficult, but it is. So put your reporter hat on for a second and be the objective person here. How critical, where are we in terms of being at a critical junction point with our canopy?
Well, I think there are a few important factors that we're at right now. One is just growth. We are seeing you know, kind of this unprecedented influx of people. Charlotte's always been rapidly growing, but now we're, you know, really getting close to the million people mark, million resident mark, and that's only going to accelerate. That's going to make it really difficult to maintain what we have. You know, where are we going to put all these people? We can put some people in existing in-town neighborhoods. We can build more densely, but as we've seen, that also has an impact on the tree canopy in places, you know, like Wesley Heights, Dilworth, those more established neighborhood. We can put new residents more on the outskirts, the 485 loop, then you're clear cutting a lot of areas. So that growth is really critical. I think one thing that makes Charlotte a little different than some cities is we're starting from a really high base. You know, if you look at Seattle, their goal is to reach 30% tree canopy cover over 30 years. DC has a goal right now of 40% tree canopy cover, and they're, you know, in the 30s. So Charlotte is kind of starting from this really high base, which is good, of being at almost 50% tree canopy coverage, but that's also kind of an Achilles heel because it means there's a lot to lose. And we can see that decline pretty rapidly as we build.
When you talk about D.C., are you talking about the District of Columbia? Or are you talking about the Maryland, Virginia suburbs? And when you talk about Charlotte, are you talking just about Charlotte? Or are you talking about Kannapolis and Concord and Gastonia and places like that?
Yeah. So for all these, I'm just talking city limits. You know, if you look region wide, obviously, we've got, you know, less dense areas around our perimeter. Some of those have lots of tree canopy. But I think one thing that also makes Charlotte different than some of those other examples, like Seattle proper or District of Columbia proper, is we are built in kind of a more suburban mode. You know, most of the city is zoned for single family residential. Most of the tree canopy is on those lots. And in some ways that makes it more challenging because you've got all these little individual decisions that individual homeowners are making about how to build, whether to remove that old tree, and it all adds up to big impacts. You know, I think trees are kind of like schools in some ways. Nobody's against trees. Nobody's against good schools. Everybody wants more trees. Everybody wants good schools. But when you look at how, you know, your school board decision impacts my neighborhood, or when you, the city, try to come in and tell me maybe I can't take down that tree, that's when the rubber really meets the road.
Yeah. Let's get back, Allison, to this idea that we're abandoning our goal of increasing the canopy to 50% by 2050. Why are we backing off that goal?
I wouldn't say that we're backing off of a goal. I think it's saying that we're pivoting towards a benefits-based greening our city and having a goal that results in a better, greener city. And so those are the conversations that we're having right now. It's not necessarily about a number, it's about the impact and the benefit of those trees. What Eli was saying is really important, because why it's important to do that now is, as we talk about the comprehensive plan, one of the greatest challenges when you've got a city that's predominantly single family zoned, and we're talking about having those conversations about increasing the types of homes that are in those areas, whether they're duplexes, tris, quads, creating affordable housing for people to live. So that balance between potentially densifying the most, the areas of our city that have the most tree canopy, we've got a lot of challenges ahead. So it's not about abandoning an effort. It's about trying to balance a number of different priorities that the people of our city are asking for.
And I think with that effort, you know, 50 by 50, it's got some real strengths that Tim and Allison mentioned, rallying cry. But there's also a pretty long time horizon with that. You know, we're still a long way from 2050. And obviously when you're talking trees, you're talking things that take a long time to grow. But I do think it's kind of hard for people, especially in a city with so many newer residents, to think, you know, am I really gonna get super excited about what things are gonna look like in 2050 here? So I think that time horizon is another challenge with that goal.
Well, Tim, tying into what Allison said, it's hard to explain this, but 50% goal, you have said, would be extremely challenging reaching that goal. And you said, you told City Council's Neighborhood Development Committee that you weren't sure that a single metric is the best fit for a city as complex, as large as Charlotte. It would be very difficult to show progress. Are you saying then that just by sheer numbers, because it takes, as Eli said, so long for a tree to grow and establish itself to where the Myers Park trees are, we wouldn't notice it. So it's difficult to sell it?
It's difficult in a number of ways. That goal came about, it was talked about 10 years ago. It's been officially adopted for 9 years now. And it was the main strategy at the time recommended by industry professionals and best practices for urban forestry policymakers, is to have a one broad size canopy coverage goal. And the strategy is still sound and useful, but even the leading nonprofit in the industry, American Forest, which recommended back in 2008 to us, we consider a 50% canopy goal, has backed off and said, we're not recommending canopy coverage goals. They set a 40% goal as the metric for most large cities. In 2017, they said, we're not doing that anymore. We recommend a more nuanced, strategic benefits, place-specific type approach, because we think the experience and the benefits that trees provide will be much more ground level, and folks can experience it more than a citywide goal that may have some really low areas of canopy coverage that aren't providing benefits to a certain neighborhood where other neighborhoods may be higher. And we've known since 2017 with our master plan that we weren't on a path for 50 by 50. That master plan analysis said the best case scenario at full build out with our current land use designations was 41%. I think this recent analysis just further confirms that our path is not heading towards that number. So it's really an opportunity now to have an open, honest dialogue with stakeholders and the public and ask ourselves two questions. Is 50 by 50 attainable? But also, more importantly, in my opinion, is it the best fit? I think we could have more specific, strategic, broader, but also scalable goals that really provide improved quality of life in neighborhoods.
But this is kind of like talking about COVID-19. We're getting mixed signals here. I'm not sure I understand this. If you back off the 50 by 50 goal, then you're certainly not going to achieve it. What replaces it that has equal value to you as an arborist, and Chuck, to you as somebody who has moved on to be executive director of Tree Charlotte? If you abandon the goal, what replaces it?
Well, I have to agree with Tim and Allison. I've not heard that we're abandoning the goal. I have not heard that with any of the discussions that I've been involved with. But certainly
Hold on. Isn't that just what Tim said? It's extremely hard to achieve. So we're going to look at other ways to do something. That's what
I have not heard that we are abandoning the goal. And I think if you ask other council members, they would tell you the same thing.
Tim?
Am I wrong, guys?
Mike, I think we're trying to be very open and transparent about this is okay. going to be challenging, but we have talked internally many times. If there's a strong push by stakeholders in the community, we're going to have a public engagement period over the next few months. We're trying to target responses from the public. If there's a strong push for retaining 50 by 50, we'll have to make some really hard decisions and maybe have to look at considering keeping part of that goal and maybe building in some other important strategic areas that make it a better fit broadly. But we're not set in stone ready to abandon it. But I want to make sure people understand that it's going to be unbelievably challenging to attain 50% coverage.
Eli, you have reported that the tree ordinances that have been in place for the last, 20, 30 years in Charlotte, and they've changed over time, but those ordinances were never tied to any regulatory aspect of land use planning. Do you understand why?
Well, I think one aspect of this is something the city is trying to address now with the Unified Development Ordinance. These development regulations have been really fragmented. So, you have a tree ordinance, you have a stormwater ordinance, you have your zoning ordinances, you have all kinds of different rules. And I think by combining them and putting them into sort of one document that ties to one plan, the city right now has a chance to address that and say, we have these tree goals. Are we going to how are they actually tied to what developers and builders do on the ground? But, that also gets back to the same issue we were talking about before of balancing priorities. Affordable housing is a big deal in the city right now. It has been a huge issue here for the last few years. And most builders, developers, and a lot of affordable housing advocates even will tell you, we're not building enough housing. We've got to make it easier to build more. There's been a big push in the industry and affordable housing circles to remove regulations that they say add cost, and requiring more trees, regulating more trees on residential property. The building industry will tell you that those are rules that are going to add cost. So I think you're really going to see the city struggling with these all kinds of different priorities as they come to the next iteration of development rules.
It is a common perception, and has been for some time, that in Charlotte, developers get their way. And Charlotte has very few tools. We just talked about affordable housing. We have very few tools in the toolkit to mandate a certain number of units of affordable housing be built in any given development. We can't. We can only ask and provide incentives. And most of those incentives, a lot of them are ignored by developers. But Allison, we're a growing city. People keep coming here. Developers are going to build here because of the high demand for housing. That's not going to change. That product is going to be in demand. Saving trees might impact a developer's bottom line, but so what? I mean, if people are coming here, somebody's going to build something, and if it's not developer A, it'll be developer B. So why, if we're serious about preserving the canopy, why do we offer an option? And we're going to talk about the option in a second, but we have an option here. You can either build by saving the trees, or you can pay a fee and not save the trees. Why do we even offer that option?
I mean, there's the tree ordinance as it stands today was built for a suburban environment. It is not for the Charlotte of today. It needs to be redone. It needs to be rethought. It needs to consider a number of different things. And that's really what this is about right now, is creating that framework, because we talk about policies, we talk about goals. That's really the tool that you have to implement that. And just as you mentioned, affordable housing, you're not going to figure out affordable housing based on one or two tools. It's a very large toolbox. And the same goes for trees. There's going to have to be a number of different tools that we use in our regulations in order to protect, enhance, and promote the growth of trees. And so that's really what this is about, is figuring out how best to do that. There are parts in the study, if you look at that, there are areas of gain in single family areas. And so why has that occurred, and how can we emulate that better? And so there's a lot to be learned. I'm really grateful that the Tree Charlotte did this study, because having more information and better data can help us make better decisions. And so there's a lot to be learned from the study that we're still trying to dive into right now.
But that didn't answer my question. Why do we give them a loophole? Why do they have an out? We know the demand is going to stay high and get higher as time goes on. You want to build? Great. You don't want to build? Okay, don't build. Somebody else will.
So, you know, we talk about housing and the need for housing, and even more so now because of COVID, the need for affordable housing. And that's not just affordable housing, meaning, you know, less than 80% or 60% AMI. I'm talking about missing middle, different types of housing types. And so we have to have some type of flexibility in our ordinances. We did a text amendment last year that I think got a lot of people talking about trees and talking about our tree ordinance, but there does need to be some flexibility. And if we can do something where we allow people maybe to prioritize growth and development in certain areas, maybe along transit lines, it may be that we need to have an option so that we prioritize that growth where it's supposed to be, and then create better tree canopy in other areas adjacent to it.
And Mike, if I could add something real quick to that, is I think we're talking about our payment in lieu option for Tree Save.
Yes.
And that's only available in certain locations, only for commercial development. So single family subdivisions have to provide preservation. They don't have the option to pay their way out. And the program that's been created after that fee has been collected is called the Tree Canopy Preservation Program. It's been highly successful. It's won some national awards. It's become an innovative model for other cities. Atlanta implemented a very similar model based on the Charlotte program. And we have preserved, I think we're at 2.5 more times land for tree canopy than what developers would have if they chose not to pay. However, success isn't universal, because sometimes that canopy has been preserved and protected in areas outside of close proximity to the development properties that are sending that fee. So we can improve on that program. And we have somewhat of a pilot project now working with Tree Charlotte to bring in a community-driven component there. And we're also looking at a new component of that program called the Urban Arboretum Trail, which is specifically targeting smaller properties. Traditionally, we purchased properties in the 20 to 100 acre range. Now we're acquiring smaller properties in urban areas and making little pocket parks. We have a long way to go to make it extremely successful in providing canopy coverage in urban areas. But it has been a working model. It needs to be tweaked, though, for sure.
That's Tim Porter, Chief Urban Forester for the City of Charlotte. He's here along with Chuck Cole, Executive Director of Trees Charlotte. Allison Craig is a Deputy Planning Director for the City of Charlotte. And Eli Portillo is with the UNC Charlotte Urban Institute. We'll continue to talk about trees and the Tree Canopy Action Plan when we come back. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about our tree canopy with four people who know it well and the problems it faces and the challenges and the plans ahead, including the Tree Canopy Action Plan, which we will talk about. Let me share with you some of the comments that have come in while we've been talking on Twitter. We have an empty lot in our neighborhood that is loaded with mature poplars, oaks, maples, and a large variety of specimen trees. Concerned what a buyer would cut, I called the city arborist, that would be you, Tim Porter, who said there is no protection from cutting them. But he said, now, if you were in Dilworth, ... What about that? Are the rules different depending upon where you are?
Generally, no. There may be some historic district protections in certain areas. So Dilworth has a historic district overlay that some properties have additional protections on it. But generally, outside of a single family subdivision type development, there are no blanket protections on individual single family lots, unless there's a historic district overlay, which the vast majority of the city doesn't have. Or if there's a tree on the property that's in the public right of way, that would be protected.
Why the different approach? What makes a historic district different from, say, the neighborhood he's talking about, or someplace in South Charlotte where they the home builder has put in 150 homes?
From a regulatory perspective, the rules are the same across the city, and I can't speak too well in a detailed way about the historic district protections. I'm just aware that there are some areas in which property owners may need to obtain a certificate of appropriateness or some additional approval through the Historic District Commission to remove trees. But generally, from a tree ordinance regulatory perspective, the rules are the same everywhere.
Okay. Terry emails. Go ahead, Eli.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, I think that's something that surprises a lot of people, especially from my days as a reporter. I would frequently talk to people who assume, you know, there's this wooded lot in my neighborhood. When it's bought, they just think that there are rules governing that. And that's something that I've frequently seen people kind of be shocked to discover that on, you know, most single family lots, you cut what you want.
Wow. Tim emails, developers seem to have no sense of neighborhood. As soon as they plan their houses, they cut everything down. When I speak to builders, they just say, oh, that's not a problem. We just plan a new one. When I spoke with a biologist, she told me that we have millions of little beetles and insects that depend on each other, but getting rid of the topsoil and just getting rid of the trees, we're playing with the ecology. And Eric has a similar question. He emailed, shouldn't we be concerned about all the plant life and the animals supported by it? Tim, we are living in an urban forest, and we have talked about this with regard to wildlife in the past on this program. If we let people just cut down the trees and plant saplings, are we still living in an urban forest?
We are. However, the quality of that urban forest may not be the same if we strategically had more policies or regulations geared towards wildlife. And it's and the ecological component of urban forests. Urban forests have systems. There's not just the trees. There's wildlife. There's water moving through there. There's soil nutrients and gases moving up and down through the soil and into trees and the atmosphere. And those are all areas that we're looking at in the Tree Canopy Action Plan, is having a more holistic approach to what the urban forest means to us. Working with Mecklenburg County Parks and Rec, who are much more focused in their mission, nature preserves and wildlife. They manage parks and natural areas. So it's an area of discussion in our current action plan project.
Chuck, as part of giving up this 50-50 dream, I'm not sure that we've completely given up on it, but we've admitted that it will be difficult to achieve, and so maybe we ought to look at other options here. And the city has amended the tree ordinance, which will now allow trees to be planted on rooftops, in planters, and in plazas. Nothing wrong with that, but can those kinds of trees remotely function the way our tree canopy has functioned over time?
Well, I can't. From my common sense, I think if you put a tree in a pot, you're not going to see and experience all the benefits the tree can actually offer, water mitigation being one of them. So there you go. I haven't looked that much at it, but from my perspective, quite frankly, I think we can achieve a 50-by-50 canopy by the year 2050. Mm-hmm. I think we can. I think that our tree canopy is only as strong as the tree ordinance itself. And I think that once we start working on that and the education that is needed for all residents, for them to understand the benefits of trees, would help with that.
Austin? Can I jump in really quick?
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say on the education side, that's part of what we want to do with the Tree Canopy Action Plan, is create this very robust education series. The thing is, we've kind of danced around this, but most of Charlotte is zoned residential. And of that, more than 80% of it is single family. And so recently we've started to go into a deep dive of sort of the whys of the changes that we found from 2012 to 2018. And about 22% or so of that is occurring through the development process of subdivision. The remainder of that is occurring through infill development, property owner, individual decisions, all of which we do not regulate. And so we're losing a lot there that's not regulated by the city, that's determined by what's happening, by decision that a property owner is making. And we need to really have our community understand that their decisions impact the canopy as a whole.
Yeah, a lot of the canopy is disappearing in residential areas. And Eli, you reported on certain city council districts where the loss of those trees seems to be the largest. And I think at least two of those three districts are what I would consider not inner city, but urban core Charlotte districts. So that indicates to me that where we are losing those trees, it's either because of age or because of infill development. Would that be accurate?
Yes. I think that's those are both big parts of it. You know, if you look at neighborhoods like Cherry, just sort of east, a little bit south of Uptown, mm-hmm. Next to Midtown, you've seen there a majority of the houses have been replaced by larger houses. And with that has come a wide scale cutting down of the older trees that were there. So you drive through those neighborhoods and you can see really big changes. You know, there's not a lot of big trees left there.
Right.
And as Allison was saying, You know, if you're not subdividing property and building a big new subdivision, if you're just developing one house at a time, that's not something the city has any control over in regulating. I also think that this points to an equity issue. You know, we've been talking in really broad terms about 50% of the city, or, you know, right now we're at 45% of the city. But if you look neighborhood to neighborhood, you know, there are areas in South Charlotte, the neighborhood where I live, where it's beautiful coverage, you know, 60s, it's 70% coverage. And there are areas just north and west of Uptown where you see much lower tree coverage. And that's because, you know, over generations, as those areas have been disinvested in, that's one of the benefits that they've lost. So I think that goes back to Tim's point of, you know, some more granular goals. Are we going to be talking about the city as a whole, or maybe does it make more sense to plant more trees in a lower income neighborhood that's really seen total disinvestment and only has 20 or 30% tree canopy coverage?
So before we talk about the tree canopy action plan, Chuck, Austin, Portland, Seattle, Charlotte, I think Eli brought up Washington, D.C., are cities on the list by American Forests of the 10 best cities for urban forests. How do we compare to the other cities on that list?
Gosh, I can't remember now. Tim, is about 17. Are we at 17?
As far as coverage, or?
Because we're in the top 10 cities.
We're the top 10.
So it can't be 17. Yeah,
to give you some comparison, though, Austin, which is similar to Charlotte in growth, their canopy coverage is in the low 30s. Okay. That has to do a lot with the natural forest types and climate in Texas, but it's just a good point to understand that there's a variation in canopy coverage and canopy goals.
So we're in the process of drawing up this new tree canopy action plan. Where are we, Tim, in that process?
We are in a stakeholder phase right now. We're meeting every 2 weeks with a group of stakeholders. We have some additional canopy analysis.
And stakeholders, stakeholders would be
sure.
Who would the stakeholders be?
We have about 22 key individuals on the stakeholder committee from different backgrounds. There's development represented folks. There's conservation, environmental represented folks, community leaders. Chuck's part of that. There's some folks from Catawba Lands Conservancy, but also on the flip side, Rebic, NAOP, some of the development areas. We're trying to get a really broad spectrum of folks to, you know, provide an informed discussion and open and honest dialogue.
Okay. So you're meeting a couple of times a month to talk about this. And there are three parts, as I understand it, to this plan, Allison. The first is data analysis. Do we have that data in hand, or are we still in the process of collecting it?
We have the data in hand. It's a matter of, and we see what the trends are, it's a matter of figuring out the whys. You know, so that we were saying earlier, you know, you're seeing residential loss. Well, why is that occurring? And so that's the deeper dive that we're doing right now. So we have the data that's been taken, and happy to have the recent study by Tree Charlotte.
Yeah, and it is a lot of data. It's a tremendous amount of data. I mean, pouring over this, it's the worst rabbit hole you've ever gone down. I mean, just the other day, I was looking at the imagery, and for whatever reason, I started looking at Queens Road West, and so I'm turning imagery from 2012 to 2018 to see exactly what's missing and what's not there, or what was there, and I'm seeing a lot of horseshoe driveways that are popping up between that time frame that are close to the street that are associated with trees. And so you see trees removed and these horseshoe driveways going in. But you know, Charlotte is huge. I mean, for somebody to sit down and to be able to analyze that would take years.
Another part of this plan, Chuck, is conversations with community partners and residents to build consensus on a shared tree canopy strategy. I presume that you and your organization are one of those partners?
We are trying, yes.
Okay. One of your missions is to educate people about the importance of the canopy. How difficult do you think it's going to be to build some sort of consensus on what this plan should be like?
Well, sometimes getting that engagement is there. I think the group that the stakeholders that we've pulled together is a good group. I think that they provide a good amount of information, and we're covering all the bases of what it is that we should be looking at. Still, I'm just not quite sure how we're going to come to something that is going to be agreeable to everybody.
So all of this is being, this tree canopy plan is being folded in, I understand, to the Unified Development Plan. And then there's the 2040 Charlotte Future 2040 Comprehensive Plan. All of these come together and get folded into each other. It calls for a robust community conversation on tree canopy policies. That's a quote. Eli, have those conversations begun?
They have, you know, you've seen these stakeholder meetings we're talking about. I think one challenge, of course, is COVID. You know, can't convene people right now. I think even apart from the community conversations and the number of plans we're talking about, there's also a lot of government entities involved in the tree canopy. You know, you've got a stormwater, Charlotte-Mecklenburg. You've got Mecklenburg Parks and Recreation, which obviously maintains a big part of the tree canopy. So it's a complex issue because you've not only got all the neighborhoods in Charlotte, all the different players on the development and the conservation side, but lots of different government agencies. And you know as well as me, when you get people from a lot of different government agencies together, turf questions, it can be hard to work together sometimes and share a common goal. So I think that's another challenge we're going to be looking at going forward.
So
and
if Mike, the goals... Go ahead.
Sorry, Mike. We're starting our public engagement phase in mid-August, and that'll run for a month and a half or 2 months. And we're going to try to accomplish that in our new COVID world as creatively as we can. So we're going to have online resources and tools. We're going to have hopefully one drive-in type event and drive people to trees.charlottenc.gov to participate.
Okay. So let me, since we're having this robust community conversation, let it begin here. Nick on Twitter, the number one issue is individual property owners taking down trees and not replanting. That's a bigger impact than developers. Is that true, Tim? Yes or no?
My best guess is maybe, as Allison said, 22% of canopy loss in residential areas.
So why aren't there rules? Why aren't there rules for individual property owners, Allison?
We're developing new policies and regulations right now, and that's part of what we're considering in the natural resources framework of the UDO.
Twitter comment, governments massively failed in preserving trees. An example is the way hundreds of acres of mature oak trees were clear cut at Brookshire Boulevard and Mount Holly Huntersville Road, where there's a new Harris Teeter. The rules are deficient. Anita emails, will the new regulations for the 2040 tree canopy plan specify the types of trees to plant? Builders usually plant cheap crepe myrtle or Bradford pear, and they are removing hickory, poplar, pin oak trees that are native, grow large, support various wildlife, and are long lasting. We need to plant trees that are important to our local needs. What about that, Chuck?
Well, I'll tell you what, we and Tim's going to have to chime in on this also, but Tree Charlotte uses a diverse list. Diversity in planting is one of our main goals. And we plant bigger trees. We get bigger trees out there. As far as development goes, Tim, you'd have to kick in on that one.
So Tree Charlotte does an amazing job of diversity. On the development side, our ordinance says 75% of all required trees planted by developers have to be native species, but there is absolutely an area of opportunity there to improve our diversity approach. We are not where we need to be.
You have the bully pulpit, and I have 15 seconds. So if you could rule the world when it comes to trees, or at least Charlotte, what would you tell people?
Take care of your trees, preserve them as much as possible, but think about it holistically. Plant, protect, and manage, and go to trees.charlottenc.gov to participate in our current public engagement.
Tim Porter is the Chief Urban Forester and the Tree Canopy Action Plan Project Manager for the City of Charlotte. Allison Craig is Deputy Planning Director for the City of Charlotte. Chuck Cole works with the city and with trees and with Tree Charlotte, where he is the Executive Director. And Eli Portillo is Assistant Director of Outreach and Strategic Partnership with the UNC Charlotte Urban Institute. Thank you all. Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to those who believe a car should stir one's emotions and deliver a heightened state of driving. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.